Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and there's no better way to kick off the week than this show, Stone.
I love doing this show, and I love the fact that it's the first thing we do in the work. We get up bright and early so that we can do a 10 a.m. show, which I think is impressive, especially if one has spent their weekend in Gulf Shores.
That's right. You need recovery time.
But I'm here where I belong. We got a studio full. We got paparazzi. We got people from different industries. It's going to be a fantastic show. First up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Managing Director with The Farm, Miss Barunda Prince. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fantabulous.
Fantabulous.
That's right.
Tell us about The Farm. How are you serving folks?
So The Farm is a twice a year tech accelerator where we support startup companies. We support about 20 companies in a year, and we teach them how to be successful. So if you have a business idea, you might not necessarily know how to actually scale your business. You may not know about financial modeling. You may not know about brand marketing. You may not know about building a team around you. We provide all of those tools so that you can be successful. We also help startup founders get investors. We help them to network and get coaches and mentors. So all of the tools that you need to be successful as a startup founder in Atlanta, we provide at The Farm.
Now, is this, you mentioned two cohorts, or how does that happen twice a year?
Yeah, so two cohorts just means two groups of 10 teams. We had one that was June was the end of that one.
And then what's the length of time typically?
It's 3 months.
Three months.
3 month period. So we'll take them through a 3 month program where it's a tailored curriculum specifically for that cohort. So no two cohorts are the same. No two curriculums are the same. So we will take them to that through that 12 week program. At the end of it, we have something what we call Demo Day. It's kind of like a Shark Tank, Entertainment Tonight, TED Talk, all wrapped up in one. Mm-hmm. It's a big party and a big celebration of all of their hard work and what they've been doing and learning the last 12 weeks. And we have that every year at the Roxy. This year is going to be November 9th at the Roxy, and the community is welcome to come out and join us.
Now, is it so both cohorts will be there for that, or just the last one?
So the cohort that is currently in session is the one that actually pitches. So there will be 10 pitches from that cohort. We certainly have alumni from that cohort, and we have alumni that come from our cohort in Boulder as well. So we have people that are there because they're interested in supporting others. They're interested in learning, but we invite all people to come and share.
Now, do they move to Atlanta and go to work there at The Farm every day for that 12 weeks? Or is this happening kind of remotely or virtually?
No, absolutely. They have to be here in Atlanta. Interestingly enough, our first cohort was very diverse in terms of geographic. We had companies as far away as South Korea, Canada, Montana. I know that's a state and not a country, but they were there nonetheless. This time, all 10 companies are Atlanta-based. So not by design, but we simply picked the best 10 companies, and they happen to be all Atlanta-based, which we're delighted at.
So then the process is people from all over the world can apply.
Absolutely.
For a slot, one of the coveted 10 slots in
Absolutely.
That cohort.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I love that. Coveted 10 slots, yes.
And then so then they apply. You have a team of experts, I guess, that are vetting.
So
or
we
is
have
it
a
random,
like a lottery,
a sorting hat.
Is it who's got the golden ticket?
Right. No?
So yes, there is an application process, and actually applications will be opening up in about a couple of weeks from now. We go through and we look at and screen the applications, and then we have in-person interviews as well. So we have a selection committee of about 15 people that go through this and look at the companies, and we're technology and industry agnostic. So though we are affiliated or in partnership with Comcast NBC Universal, we're interested in companies that are in the tech space and innovation, doing something different. It doesn't necessarily have to be media and connectivity, though that's an interest. But we have companies that have done do-it-yourself divorced apps. We have companies that are using blockchain for music collaboration. We have companies that are using drones to help with storage and moving very heavy equipment. So it's really the technology has to be innovative, and it has to be disrupting the way that things are done, business is currently being conducted.
And then your definition of technology is extremely broad because technology touches so many different disparate industries now.
Technology touches everything, whether we see it or not.
Mm-hmm. And then for you, how did you get involved in this?
I'm a native Atlantan, so I actually returned back to Atlanta for this. I know that's pretty unusual to say native Atlantan, but we are here.
So you were born here in Atlanta?
I was born here, raised here in Atlanta.
Left and came back.
I left and came back. Yeah, went to high school here and everything.
Wow.
And left and went to the North for a while and came back about 20, 30 years later for this opportunity specifically. Because of my background, I'm engineer by training. I actually have my MBA. I've been an entrepreneur. So I have all of the elements that really help to make the farm a successful place for entrepreneurs.
And then what are you charged with? To have like 10 for 10 successful, what are you high-fiving at the end of a session?
Well, given that we are, less than 2 weeks away from our demo day, I'm charged with just making it to demo day at this point.
Then it's someone else.
In terms of how do we measure success, that's really interesting because it's so new. Our companies are very, very early stage. So it's very difficult to say what a company will be like and where they'll be in 5 or 10 years.
Right.
Absolutely. So it's kind of like reading the tea leaves, but you do have markers along the way. You look at traction, how many companies are people willing to pay? What's the value proposition? Mm-hmm. Do they have IP? So there are different things that you look at to indicate, are they likely to be successful or not? But the honest answer is it takes 5 or 10 years to really see what's going to happen. And then it takes a lot of work and a lot of luck as well.
So now, when you're working with them, what are some of the areas that you're helping them in? Like you mentioned, there's finance, there could be, you know, finding strategic partners. There's a wide variety of things, but every cohort, you said, has its own kind of flavor to it.
Right. Every cohort is different because of the composition of the cohort, the technologies that they have, the businesses that they're building. So they have their own flavor, distinct flavor to it as well. There are certainly fundamentals that they need to know, like marketing, finance, operations.
Just foundational things.
They need to know those foundational things. But within that, we have we tweak it so that it's specific to what they're doing, specific to their industry, specific to their problem.
So it's custom to each of the 10.
It's custom designed to each of the 10 teams there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to ask though, do you see some patterns from wide-eyed would-be entrepreneurs, some of the same behaviors over and over again, and you kind of look at your colleagues and you go, yep, here we go again. We got some rookies in here. You know, are there some patterns?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We have this joke. Don't let them hear this. I won't tell them that this is on the air. But we're always looking at and voting on who's going to be that team in the cohort. But it's in a good way. That team could be that team that may push back initially, but they'll be the ones that on demo day stands up and shines the brightest. Mm-hmm. So there are markers again that we look at and say, these people are different. Everybody has their own personality, but we do notice trends and we do notice personalities, and there can be group think and group act. And so we kind of gotten to the point that we know, this one may need a little extra tender love and care. This one we may have to push on this particular area, but they're like your children. You love them all. They're all different. They all need different things, but you love them all for who they are. And that's how we see them. We provide exactly what they need so that they can actually match and meet their potential.
Okay, along those lines, now to stay with that analogy, do you also find yourself sometimes saying, you know what, let them run a little bit and skin their knee. We can't protect them. Is there a little bit of that?
Oh, yes. It's like, let's run with that one and just say,
let's see how that great idea of yours plays out.
That's
and you
right.
Let them...
You go out there and you start charging the customers that. Let's see what the customer tells you. So that's really the key to it is the customer willing to pay for it. So you go with that idea and come back and tell us how that worked. In fact, that's a big part of our program is we help them to test and iterate, experiment so that they can validate their business model. And the way that they do that is they actually go out and find customers and they talk to them and they ask them questions. And then, of course, they find out, are you willing to pay for this? How valuable is it or not? It's one thing to say, hey, do you like this idea where this drone could help you carry big things from one part of your warehouse to another? And people go, oh, yeah. It's another thing to say, hey, do you have this? Would you like this big drone? And oh, yeah. And by the way, it costs you X amount per month. People then go, maybe
good.
Not so much. Yeah, I'm good with that. So it's a very interesting process. But the most fun about it is that they're all very different. They are the most courageous people I've probably ever met. because they get up every day, they work on their ideas, they bust their butts, they work 12 to 16 hours every day, and the odds are against them. If you look at the data, the odds are against them succeeding. But they do it anyway because they believe that much in themselves.
This is a 12-week sprint, right?
Oh, yeah. That's why it's called an accelerator. Right. You do it fast.
And then for when you're working with these people and they're coming in there, are they older, younger? Like, what's the demographic of the person that's
involved?
So
the demographics can be all over the place. For our first cohort, the demographic, the youngest was 22. The oldest was 62, I think. For this cohort, it's a tighter bandwidth. So they're mostly in their 20s and late 30s, up into that range.
So sometimes this is their first kind of venture into anything like this. Other times you're getting some veterans that maybe have been there, done that, and this is just another one.
We get everything from serial entrepreneurs who've successfully done it before, mm-hmm. to folks who have been in corporations and they're now having a career change, to students who are just really out of college. So it's a broad range. And that's one of the things that makes it really interesting, is because they teach each other. They bring their experiences and their expertise and they learn from each other. And that's the importance of having a cohort. You're not going through the process with just yourself and your business founder. You're going along the process with another 20 people along with you. They're kind of like your posse.
And then so that is a requirement, is to have two people, like a two co-founders? Because some of them do just a founder and then they match them eventually.
So we have a CEO and CTO is a requirement. I say that it's a requirement. It's certainly something that we think is best, because first of all, in 12 weeks, you're doing a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So just the sheer volume of work, is much better to have two people doing that. And at the same time, you're building your business, by the way. So you're doing all of these things at the same time. If you're a single founder, it's going to be much more difficult for you to do that. But with that said, we have had some rare instances where there were single founders who had remote team members elsewhere, that it worked very well for them.
And then that would be the technology person is remote and they're the business development, or
typically
somebody's
got to
be a salesperson, yes. Right? Somebody's got to be the one that evangelizes and somebody
so
has to be.
So that's the CEO. We'll have the CEO and then the chief technology officer, the CTO, would be the two founders that we ask to come. And then sometimes we have companies that have more people that will come as well.
And they're allowed that you can have two or more people to be part of it.
We can have two or more people there. And then the great thing is, even after you go through that 12-week program, we don't just dump and run. Even after that time part, you're still part of the farm family.
There's an
alumni. You're part of the alumni. We're still connecting you to investors. And we give you space for free for 5 weeks or 5 months, I'm sorry, so that you can work and continue to build on your business. And while you're in that space for free, you're still interacting with other mentors, coaches, other co-founders, people from the first cohort. So it's a very innovative and collaborative space. And if you haven't been there, have you been to the farm?
I've been to the Battery. It's at the Battery.
Yeah,
right?
It's at the Braves Stadium. Essentially, we look into the Braves Stadium. It's amazing
very
space.
Cool.
If you can't get inspiration from that,
I was going to say on their next cycle, but now that I hear you talking about the environment and the alumni, I'd love to go down there and do Radio Day.
I think you should.
Right? Broadcast live from there, capture some of these stories.
Absolutely.
And I don't even know that it has to be on cycle. I mean, these people are 24/7, 365. Really, they got something going on.
Right. You always have.
We always have something. I didn't even tell you that we have an incubator. We have hardware lab. We have co-working space.
So the incubator is separate than this?
The incubator is separate from the accelerator. The accelerator is
the
12-week program.
Too?
Yes, all of this is under the farm umbrella. So the accelerator, which is the 12-week program.
Right.
Then we have an incubator, which could be pre or post accelerator. Then we have co-working space for people who are building their businesses. They just need a place to work out. And we have a hardware lab so that if you're building a hardware or a physical product, you have somewhere to go actually build it. And the best thing about this, we offer this all for free.
So
everything is free?
For free.
Wow.
And that's because of the backing of Comcast?
That's because of the backing. It's a combination of a partnership between Comcast, NBC Universal, and Boomtown. And what we've decided is that we think that supporting and empowering startup entrepreneurs is so important that we want to make sure that a journey that's already hard, it's already difficult, is a little bit easier by you not having to worry about where am I going to work out today? How do I pay for my space today? You come there, you have free space, you're with other like-minded entrepreneurs, you're in a supportive environment, you're in an environment that's inspirational and beautiful. So even though the journey will still be difficult and challenging for you, at least that aspect will be a little bit better.
Now, when you're saying free, is it no charge to for these access to all of this environment ecosystem? Or do you have to give a percentage of equity in exchange for this?
So for the incubation, co-working, and hardware lab, that's absolutely free.
There's with no equity
with,
or anything?
With nothing.
Wow.
For the accelerator program, because you are getting our custom design curriculum, as well as we calculated some benefits of roughly over $1 million in addition to the curriculum, yes, there is equity that is exchanged in return for that investment.
So now Comcast is doing this just because that's good corporate citizenry, or
you say that with like a puzzled sound.
No,
to
I'm
your
just
voice.
Asking. Believe me, I'm pro corporate citizens. So.
Yeah. Well, Comcast is first of all believes that it is a technology company. That is Comcast's perception of itself, is that it's a technology company. So what makes more sense than a technology company promoting technology use broadly and in the ecosystem? Comcast, particularly here in Atlanta, believes that Atlanta is such a rich and vibrant place for technology growth and for startup founders. If you look at it, we are one of the best cities for corporate innovation, for corporate headquarters. We have very good colleges and universities like Georgia Tech, Emory, Kennesaw State, Georgia State, SCAD. You go on and name more and more. We have a great quality of life. We have a developed and talented workforce. So all of those elements combine to make for a great place for innovation. And Comcast believes in that. Yes, they're a great corporate citizen, and they believe that technology and innovation is the future.
And then they believe also that they're doing all this, and they're not saying that, hey, everybody coming through here has to have a media play attached to it we're a media company. I mean, that's even more generous.
Yes. But also, sometimes the best plays come from those that you don't anticipate. Mm-hmm. Those are the best disruptors, those things that you can't plan for. So, yes, again, technology that supports and enables their strategies in terms of media and connectivity, those are great. But maybe the home run really comes with those technologies that you had no idea even existed, or that there was going to be any future application at all.
Well, that is a lot of foresight for them to lean into the chaos of the unknown and saying, hey, maybe there is going to be a strand here that we can pull on, or we can have access, get a first look at. I mean, that's pretty innovative thinking on their part.
Well, it's disruptive thinking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But most people are in the older, especially older companies, tend to, you know, I prefer the status quo, and let's try to lock this down as long as possible.
I think they've learned by looking at history that those companies don't tend to do well or last very long. So companies
can last long, but they can, they're on the clock.
Yes. Last long relative. But if you look at the companies that were Fortune 500, say 60 years ago, most of them aren't here now.
Anymore, which is shocking.
Yes. Right. So I think the companies that are now Fortune 500 are learning from that and trying to do something different, so that they can reverse that trend.
Well, good for them. And this must be so rewarding work for you.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
Because this is the future of jobs, right? This is a big part of this. Is those 10 companies are going to go out. Some of them are going to get funded. And like you said, some of them hopefully will be mashed up into a new kind of iteration of them in the future. But this is where the jobs are created in these small to mid-sized companies.
Absolutely. This is definitely where the jobs are created. And these are where the stories happen, actually. So for every 10 companies, there are different 10 different personal stories that go along with that. 10 different dreams and journeys that go along with that. So I get to be the one that either on the sideline or pushing them forward, but I get to witness and support and help them develop as they grow. And I get to help people actually realize their dreams in a way that most people may not have that opportunity to do. So every day I get out of the bed knowing that, A, my day is never going to go exactly the way that I thought it was going to be. But B, it's going to be exciting as hell. And C, I'm going to be surrounded by some people who are literally trying to change the world.
Right. Good for you. Now, if somebody wanted to go, the Roxy's there at the Battery as well, right?
Yes, the Roxy's at the Battery.
So you're just going across that little pavilion. And
we just walk down the little pavilion.
Good for you.
Yeah, good,
nice.
Good for us. We just walk right down. We're trying to keep it all in the family
right,
there.
And then, so when is that event and how can people go and attend and support you guys?
So the event is the Farm Demo Day, and that's on November 9th. The doors open for the public at 5 p.m. It's very, very easy for you to go online and register. You can go on Eventbrite and just search for The Farm, mm-hmm. or you can go to our website, which is www.thefarmatl.com. So The Farm.
And there's an ATL and a Colorado one you mentioned?
So there is a...
There's two?
Yes.
Right,
so we have a Boomtown Boulder tech accelerator as well that's been in existence for about 5 years now. So they are in cohort number 10 for
that. Wow.
Them. Yeah.
And then, so are there going to be more of these popping up?
Oh, absolutely. This is the wave of the future.
Right.
I mean, I think both corporations and entrepreneurs have realized that it can be a symbiotic relationship. Corporations know that there are things that they do, some things they do very well, and there are some things that maybe they can learn to do better
right.
from others, and vice versa. Entrepreneurs know that they are certainly agile, innovative, creative, but there's some other things that maybe they can learn to do well. So it's a great partnership.
And then having a partnership with a large enterprise company can increase your odds of success.
Oh,
dramatically.
Absolutely. These startup founders are no dummies. They
right.
understand that, you know, go where the money is.
Right.
But not only the money, more importantly, is the resources
it's
in terms
and
of connections,
right.
the connections,
the partnerships,
the opportunities.
Right.
Yes, more so than the money.
And then if somebody wants to become part of a future cohort, you said on the
just
website.
Just go to our website, www.thefarmatl.com, and there is an application there that you can walk through. It's pretty simple and pretty easy. I would also invite those people who are interested to come to Demo Day because
and talk
it's
to
a great,
some of the people and
absolutely.
See what they thought of it.
It's a great way to see firsthand what we do and how we do it.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you. It's been my absolute pleasure.
Well, keep up the good work. And I'm quite sincere, and I'm sure Lee is too, about this idea of going out there and capturing some of these stories on site. So happy
Please
to talk
do.
That through.
We'll be looking forward to seeing you.
All right. Hey, how about hanging with us? We got a couple more folks we're going to visit with.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hear.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us from Bank of America, Merrill Edge, head of consumer banking and Merrill Edge. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. Aaron Levine. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, I'm sorry, man. Tough act to follow, huh?
It is a very tough act to follow. We certainly hope we can get some of those as clients as they grow.
I'm sure there's room for more partners.
Absolutely. We'd love to invest
on that.
In companies like that. That's fantastic. Great story.
Well, Aaron, you're here to talk about some of the innovative work that Bank of America was doing at Music Midtown last month. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, we're thrilled that this was the second year in a row in which Bank of America sponsored Music Midtown, and really two objectives. First, we really make sure our clients understand and really everyone the transition to cashless and how easy it's getting and the ability for people to do transactions without having to carry all that cash around and just do it digitally. And the second key objective was for us to really thank our clients. And so anybody who had a Bank of America debit or credit card could register and then come into our hospitality suite and enjoy
a little VIP.
VIP, and it was for any client. It wasn't anyone who worked with us. So it was really those two things. But the cashless part is obviously critical as we introduce our Zelle offering, which is a payments system mm-hmm. that people can pay each other with.
Now, are you finding that as a trend that young people are more attracted to this type of cashless? A cashless relationship?
Yeah, no question. I mean, certainly I have teenage kids and the idea of them carrying cash is foreign to them. It's all on their phone. And
right.
And I think it's fantastic. Look, it creates a lot of issues for both
for
us.
You.
For us as a company to have
right.
cash and we'd love to move to a kind of cashless. And, you can see it overseas even more rapidly. They're
oh,
moving
really?
Very quickly to a cashless society. It's going to take time, but we're seeing a real rapid acceleration of people moving to that sort of digital model, Apple Pay and all the different ways you can send money to each other. It's just safer and more convenient.
Now, we had the opportunity to broadcast live from FinTech South. Mm-hmm. at the recent event at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and we got to interview people from all over the globe in this payments world. Mm-hmm. It's that balance of speed. The customer wants it to happen instantaneously, and you guys are behind the scenes like crazy just trying to make it safe and mm-hmm. that the person is really the person that they say they are. Yep. And I don't know if the consumer appreciates the complexity to that challenge.
No, there's no question. And certainly that's why when you think about who you're working with and doing these kinds of digital transactions, are you working with a startup or are you working with a bank that's sort of been doing this for a long, long time? Mm-hmm. And the enormous, you know, the one part of our company that has sort of a blank check is our security and cybersecurity.
Right.
Right. Everyone else is under some pretty tight expense right. Considerations, but that one group is really got a blank check. And it's critical, right? It's the most important thing we can do, which is drive security. And I think everything we're trying is to not only provide the tools and technology, but just the education, how to protect yourself, how to set up the right fraud alerts, how to really think about protecting your identity as well as your money online. And it is a real consideration. And with so many sort of online sites popping up every day, people need to think about, you know, what are they doing and how are they using it?
Now, when you were doing this, it was a wristband, right? There was some sort of a wristband.
Yep.
So how did that work for the consumer? Can you walk us through what it was like if they couldn't attend the Music at Midtown?
Yeah, effectively, you're setting up your debit or credit card online, and then your wristband is really linked to it. And so you go up to a vendor, you want to buy some food or drinks and all that, and just wave your wristband across the little reader. Much like, right now you can do the same thing on your phone with an Apple Pay kind of, you put your Bank of America credit card right into the phone, or in Music Midtown, this was a wristband. And then you can, swipe it and it all gets linked up and it's very secure and no one's hacking into it.
Now, I had recently, we got to judge Taste of Atlanta, and they had a wristband mm-hmm. that it was like a permanent wristband where I couldn't, if I cut it off, then it
wouldn't work.
Right. So yes. Is that the same technology?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where it's an RFID or so, are you leveraging that? Is that part of it?
Yes. I'm certainly not the guy to ask all the you're getting into
it. You're in charge of this.
I'm in charge, but I got about 100 people who do the tech stuff before they'll get to me.
But so it's not a wristband. It's like a rubber thing that I can hand off to five different people. It's like, this is me. Because that's part of the security is
exactly.
You have to know I'm me.
Exactly. There's an authentication process that right. has to happen. And if anything gets, if it gets taken off, then it immediately gets sort of turned off. Yes.
And then, but that's kind of the power of it. I'm trading that. So now I can just go somewhere and just kind of wave my hand and then I get to.
Yeah. This technology is great. So think we have 16,000 ATMs across the country. Every one of them now, you can preset how much money you want to get out of the machine on your phone, walk up and just wave the phone and get the money out instantly.
So you don't even need a debit card anymore?
No, you can debit. Wow. Well, you need the debit card to load into your phone
first,
but then you don't have to carry it around. So you think about the safety and of the speed by which you can then do that transaction. You're not standing at the ATM for 5-6 minutes. It's mm-hmm. automatic. So that shift of the ability to use the mobile technology to do things that, still are pretty convenient in ATM, we've now taken it to the next level. And you can sort of rethink ahead of time, how much money do you want and when?
Now, is this now part of kind of the DNA of your organization is to kind of lean into these festivals and kind of let the young people know, hey, this is, we're not this old stodgy, your grandfather's anymore.
Yeah, we're really proud. We've been out in front of the sort of high tech. Our strategy for the last real 5 years has been a combination high tech, high touch.
Right.
And on the high tech side, our bankofamerica.com has been one of the highest ranked online sites for quite some time. We now have 26 million mobile customers, about 40 million total online, and everything we do. So a lot of what we do is events, especially at colleges. So we do thousands of events, getting out in front of young people, explaining the technology, helping them understand. And then, of course, big part of our job is to educate on financial wellness, right? So it's not just how to use technology, but how to think about planning and how to use banking and other things properly to help your financial life. So we're really trying to get the education part as part of the why we do these festivals and these school events.
And then so... as part of your consumer journey. So they're coming in and saying, they have cool technology, but you want to open their mind to say, hey, you also should be doing some financial planning no matter at what stage you are in your kind of economic lifestyle.
Exactly. Look, the technology is just to make transactions easier, but that doesn't help you figure out how to save for college education or how to save for retirement or what if you have a life event. And so for us, we've been deploying specialists into our financial centers all around the country, small small business bankers, mortgage officers, financial advisors, and giving people the ability to sit down and really talk about, you know, what are their life priorities and, you know, what do they need to do to think about planning. So that's really the key to what the relationship is with us. And the technology just makes the transaction side easier, but that doesn't help people really think through how,
like,
to manage
saving themselves for retirement.
Right. Well, here's a challenge. Think about a young person who's got a lot of student debt. So how do you prioritize paying down student debt, you know, saving for a home and saving for retirement? It's very hard to do that just online, right? Nobody can help you think through those things. So you really do want a person and an advisor. So that's our high touch part of it. So we are not in any way investing less in our physical plant. In fact, we are growing here in Atlanta and around the country, our banking centers. So the technology is just one piece of the story. And then it's what we do to help people think about the planning side is another big part of the story.
So you still are a proponent of kind of human to human interactions and relationships, and not just that, hey, I got an app on my phone that I just, you know, I'm saving $50 a month or something.
Yeah, absolutely. The phone just makes things easier transactionally. But what we think is critical is to help someone really understand, especially those young people that do use the technology a lot. What does it mean to have a 401k and how do I use that? What does it mean to save for my retirement? And how should I think about those things? You know, how do I manage across all these different priorities? That's where it gets tricky. And so there's nothing that replaces advice from a real person.
And then, so you're investing in that in terms of having more centers and having more humans to have these kind of relationships with these younger people.
Absolutely. So in fact, here in Atlanta, we've renovated or opened 23 centers over the last several years, and we're opening 5 more. And so we'll continue to open centers and renovate some of our legacy ones to get them into a more modern, you know, where it is higher technology, but also having more people in the centers to help them. You know, what's changing is that the teller line goes sort of replaced. It's going to ultimately be replaced, right? So we're actually opening up centers in new parts of the country that don't have a teller line at all, has ATM machines, and has all the specialists to help you, but you can do all that other stuff on your phone.
Right. So then why kind of have redundancy?
Exactly.
So now you give them the services they need and want rather than just a transactional one.
Exactly.
So that becomes more of a commodity item.
No question about it, right? It's and that's really something where the industry is evolving to, where the real part of ours is, do we have a relationship? And over time, as you said, someone who changes, you know, their life experiences require different things at different times. You get married, get divorced, you lose a loved
right,
one.
You have
it's,
a kid, right?
It's those moments that you need to talk to someone. So that's why we keep investing heavily in people and not just technology.
And then the consumer needs someone to watch their back, because this is so complex. And then the rules, taxes, there's all kinds of, you know, change in the works, you know, and you need someone that's knowledgeable, that knows how to do this, that can be kind of that voice of reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And then what's great is that what the technology allows is to have all that research and access also available to you 24/7.
Right.
Right. So, yeah, our people do go home and spend time with their families. We let them out and they go home. So if it's 9 o'clock at night and you have a question, now you can just jump on your phone and get all that information about, oh, I need to change my address, or I'm concerned about something, all those issues. You don't have to wait till hours, or you don't have to make a phone call. It can all be done through the phone. And that just allows our clients.
It's such that on demand. See, yes. Comcast was ahead of the game with all that on demand stuff.
So
it's now trickling down into every industry.
Exactly.
So now for you, when you're working with your people in these centers, like, what's their day like? Are they going out and they're interacting with small to mid-sized business people, or are they just sitting there and waiting for people to come into them?
Great question. So it's really a combination. We still have, believe it or not, around the country, 5 million visitors a week into our financial centers.
Really?
A million a day. So we have 4,500 centers around the country. And so certainly we're helping.
Does that surprise you?
No, it's actually been coming down, right? So again, you have to remember where we started.
Right.
So it's been reducing, but what we're doing is been, to your point, much more proactive. So my folks in the centers are sending out emails. They're following up. They're setting appointments. We've created, what's really been fascinating is the movement from waiting to now an appointment culture. We did last week alone 300,000 appointments around the country. So people going online, sort of seeing the transaction side and then realizing, you know what, I would like to talk to someone. You can now set a time to come into a center. So there's no wait, there's no line, and one of our specialists will sit down with you. So we're moving, I think, over the next few years, you're going to see the banking center will be an appointment type model as opposed to a foot traffic model. But we have to solve for both.
The reason I'm looking at you, I think that when you have scheduled conversations like that, I think everyone goes into those exchanges that much better prepared. I think it's marvelous that you're making that transition.
Yeah, and what we love is when we can give our folks the time to really spend, you know, we expect them to have the full conversation. We don't put them on the clock and say, it's got to be X, you got to churn through it. You know, they can schedule their day to say, I have a sense of this client might need more time, this one might need less, and I'll set it up that way. And what's really important, what we're seeing more and more is a follow-up now. A client saying, this is great, let's set up an appointment for 6 months, like the doctor. Right. It's now about your financial health and not
so like physical. regular check-ins
because right. Things change, right? I get a bonus, I didn't get a bonus, my job changes, I might be moving, and all of those things is really when people feel much more comfortable knowing, okay, I have someone I can come back and talk to who understands sort of what's important to me personally.
Well, that sounds great for the individual. Now, how are you serving kind of that business owner who has responsibilities, has, you know, payroll, they have, you know, there's mouths to feed. Is it the same kind of system where I'm going to have quarterly check-ins or 6 months or whatever the right rhythm is?
Yeah, well, we have a phenomenal small business organization run by a woman, Sharon Miller, who does a phenomenal job. We have over 3 million small business customers. And so we have small business bankers. Some sit in our financial centers, the way I'm talking, and there's another group that actually goes out into the local market, like here in Atlanta, and are meeting with clients at their place of business. And it is the exact same model. It is all about understanding their priorities, delivering the solutions that they need. We have a really fantastic reward program where, depending on what different solutions clients need, they get benefits across the whole relationship.
And do those benefits trickle down to the employees as well?
It can on a personal. So we have a program both for an individual as well as for the business owner. So it's called.
But they can be hand in hand, right?
They can be hand in hand, and there's benefits on both.
So I can encourage my employees to switch to Bank of America so they can take advantage of some of those.
Absolutely right. And so, because that's what's really important. So as a business owner, not only are you want to talk to someone about credit needs and cash management and all that's important as the owner, but you also care about your employees. So we're able to bring a team together, a small business banker, and then one of the consumer bankers, and really work with both small and large companies on that whole, you know, life cycle, if you would, the whole ecosystem. How do you help the company grow and get the capital they need, as well as how do you help each individual employee benefit? And so we're working with companies of all sizes on that.
And that's probably one of the benefits of working with a firm that with as many resources as yours. I can do the transaction stuff. I can have kind of the advisor stuff. And then I can even manage my financial future through kind of in one place.
Absolutely. And certainly as a company grows, right, they start at the farm and they start learning from our friend. And then they become a small business. And then that business gets into a larger scale business. And then they go to a corporate and then they become, you know, an international sensation.
Just like
we can help them all the way through. Right. And that's what's so great about a company like Bank of America with the enormous amounts of resources helping companies grow small businesses all the way to international corporations.
Now, is that, as Brenda mentioned earlier, part of the benefits of working with the farm is the relationships. Mm-hmm. Now, is that this, if I'm working with a Bank of America person mm-hmm. with my banking for my company, is there going to be that type of relationship as well where they're going to be, hey, you should know my other client, Bob, over there? Or is this like a privacy thing where you're not allowed to talk about other people and do that kind of matchmaking?
Right. So obviously there's always a level of privacy in terms of what information is fair, but creating a network, and we bring business leaders together all the time, both online, doing sort of WebEx kind of webcasts and bringing the community together, as well as in person. So there's no better way to help a client, you know, sort of learn about the industry. And we're trying to always provide content, you know, research, but also absolutely making those connections. And so a banker who has multiple relationships can absolutely make those introductions, but always keeping the whatever's proprietary and confidential, but certainly can share industry information and trends and what we're seeing. We can do the same thing. We have so many clients, 3 million small business clients. We can share a lot of information.
I would, and that's what I would hope from my banker, because like in here, I mean, we're a small company, but we're growing. And we have a meeting every Monday after the show where we talk about what can we do for our clients. And we have about 10 clients out of here, and we meet a lot of people as guests here. So we're going, okay, this client should meet this guest. That because we're in a unique position to meet a disparate group of people in lots of different industries. So we feel it's our, we don't want to be a vendor. You know, we want to have a relationship with our clients where they can count on us for things like that. And if I have a banker that's kind of watching my back, that's helping me get clients or helping me find partners or vendors that can help me save money or make more money, I'll never leave.
Absolutely. And we have such a amazing access to companies of all sizes that we can bring companies together and make those connections every day.
So that's part of the people in those centers are charged. They have the autonomy to do stuff like that.
So the people who would do that would be our small business bankers that tend to operate outside of the centers just because of that's their ability to do that.
Right.
The folks in the centers are really helping the clients, you know,
more of the consumer
deal, more of the consumer, but even on small business, at least opening the relationship, beginning the process, maybe a small business credit card, those kinds of products. And then a client like that, we would introduce to our small business bankers or even up the line to our business banking and commercial banking partners. And so then we can create those relationships.
Because that's part of the culture. That's important. And then everybody wants to see that we're all watching the back of our clients to help them grow. So therefore they're going to stick with us and we're going to grow.
And the same thing applies to on the individual side, on the wealth management side. We may have a client who today really is looking for a sort of technology driven, lower cost investment solution. But down the road, they're looking for, they have more complexity, more wealth. So we can introduce them to a Merrill Lynch advisor. And so as they grow, we can say, let's get you to the right part of our company that has the resources that you need in your case.
And they can be proactive about it rather than reactive.
Exactly.
I guess I didn't know that there was a connection with Merrill Lynch.
Yeah. So we, Bank of America and Merrill merged coming out of the financial crisis back in 2008. So it's actually just hit our 10th year anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And it's one of the things that, again, that makes the company very powerful in that we have not only this tremendous corporate lending and corporate business, but from a wealth management side, we also can deliver across the entire spectrum. So Merrill Edge, which is a technology retail brokerage, to Merrill Lynch, to U.S. Trust, which is a private bank. So we cover the whole gamut.
Well, what a tremendous advantage for you guys that must be. And I can tell you, as a small business owner, I'm kind of enamored with the idea of my banker sort of being the quarterback of my team and being able to put me in touch with a wealth manager from a company that I have heard of, Merrill Lynch.
They've been around.
I mean, I just find all that very, very attractive, don't you, Lee?
Yeah, I think that that's, in today's chaotic world, you need as many allies as possible that are people watching your back, because it's impossible to be good at every single aspect of everything.
Yeah.
You have to have a team.
Yeah. Our mantra is one team. It's what we sort of make sure all of our associates kind of live and breathe, this one team idea. And that can be on the consumer side, making sure we introduce you to mortgage specialists and bankers and financial advisors. And on the business side, it's that combination of how do I get you the capabilities you need, the tools, right? Cash management, all that, with the advice and guidance, with this network that we have available to us so that we can help you grow as a business.
Right. But like the tools are almost kind of table stakes.
Right.
You need that. You got to differentiate through the human to human relationships.
And exactly.
And that's where you got to be kind of best in class.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of startups that believe it's a technology only solution.
That's a tool.
We don't believe that. We believe it's still, at the end of the day, relationships, especially for small business.
Right.
When you know, it's such a challenge to run a small business, and it's the kind of the backbone of our country in terms of job growth. We've got to be there to help small businesses grow and get access to capital and really access to this expertise that you guys might not have available to you every day.
Now, is that how much of a priority is small business?
It's a huge priority for us. It's something that from a board of directors to our CEO, Brian Moynihan, down to the head of the house is puts real emphasis on. And so Sharon, like I said, we have $11 billion in new originations we'll do across the country in 2017, $11
billion. Wow.
So that is a big number. And that's just in our small business. That doesn't include anything else that we do for larger companies.
So
it's a huge priority for us.
And if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation with somebody on your team, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, there's a couple ways. One is certainly I recommend you walking into any of our 130 banking centers around this area, around the Atlanta area.
That's it. Only 130.
Only 130. I know.
I can make an appointment. You can make an appointment.
Exactly. So that would be the other way. Go to bankofamerica.com and you can either make an appointment. So there's lots of ways and to get to us, but we certainly love when people set up an appointment and come in and talk to us in person.
Or they can see you at the next music festival somewhere around, right? Yeah.
I hope they won't wait for another year. Get out sooner and see us.
Did you hear how gracious he was? He said something to the effect of breadth of expertise that you may not have immediate access to. Not stuff you two don't have the first clue
exactly.
about. You
can get tell already. You guys need help.
And the tools are sexy, and I love it that you guys are. It must be very rewarding to be sort of on the cutting edge, but in a mature industry. I mean, that's got to be a lot of fun. And I love the idea that we can tap into a resource and a well of expertise so deep and wide. But what I find most attractive is this mindset I hear you describing, mm-hmm. this culture you guys have obviously invested a great deal of energy and effort in building.
Yeah, there's no question. It's something we take very seriously, and not only in sort of that mindset around a company, but also what we do for the community. So I'm really proud here in Atlanta alone, our employees devoted 230,000 volunteer hours over the last year. And I think we've done
something. And that's built in and encouraged?
Built in and encouraged. We did. I think employees themselves donated over $6 million. And as a company, we've donated $20 million over the last several years just to local Atlanta institutions. So as part of that, we extend that idea of one team and helping a client all the way out to the community. And so whether it's organizations like Boys and Girls Clubs or Year Up, you know, we're constantly finding ways to say, how can we create job opportunity?
Right.
So we're really proud. We announced our Pathways program, which is we're going to hire 10,000 people from low to moderate income zip codes into new jobs over the next 5 years into our company. So to me, that's what really another reason why I've been with the company my whole career, 25 years.
Really?
And it's things like that. And we're talking about great jobs coming in, and it's a career, not work necessarily in that zip right. code, work anywhere, you know, eventually be a, you know, investment banker if you want, but focus on areas that don't necessarily get access
right,
to companies like us, underserved areas. And so we have a real commitment and program, and we've actually threw that target out of 10,000 over five years.
So I get it now. Now I understand why this guy has such a bounce in his step, because I didn't mention it, but, you know, I thought, man, this guy just has this exuberance about, and for me, I felt like that was a little strange coming from a guy from such a big industry and a big organization, but you're doing some incredibly innovative work. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Please keep us posted.
I'd love to, yeah.
We love talking
about
this
stuff,
don't we?
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for what you're doing. Really important that you provide an access to local businesses, so I thank you guys for what you're doing.
Well, it's our pleasure, and it beats the heck out of working.
Absolutely.
All right, y'all ready for the headliner? She's been very patient. I've seen her nodding her head, taking a few notes. I think it's time to introduce her to the program. Please join me in welcoming brand strategist with Sparks & Company, the Sparks Agency, Miss Clarissa Sparks. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am well, and much more informed and energized already. Keep us going here.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited to be here this morning to talk a little bit about the She Sparks Agency. We are a branding and marketing agency here in North Fulton, servicing globally to help entrepreneurs tell their brand story. And we do it through a mentoring process. So we're gearing them up to send them over to the farm. we offer educational workshops to help and mentoring sessions to help small businesses and solopreneurs to help with the foundation. A lot of people, they come to the agency with a logo, with a website, and they think they're in business. Mm-hmm. And we quickly identify the challenges within their business model, and we guide them through a structured process to help them to establish and maintain their brand.
And is that something that people kind of, they don't realize whether they're trying to brand or not, they're branding? Right.
Yes, we think that establishing social media accounts are creating our brand identity. And again, they come in with the idea of having the logo, the website, and the social media handles, but they do not have a clear message or focus centered around their actual product or service. So we help give them focus and clarity around their ideas.
Now, how do you deliver this kind of knowledge? Is it online classes or is it in-person consultations?
Well, we have several ways that we make connections, but we do a lot of through live educational workshops that we host throughout the city, as well as in other locations. So we come in for starting out with a two-hour workshop, and we take them through the what we call the brand thinking process. And through that process, we go through the four developmental phases of branding, and then we enroll them into the focus labs. And focus labs allows them to go in and look at customer discovery, identify who they are, who their first customers are, and then we go into the brand identity pieces of the program as well as help them with brand building. So we get the opportunities to partner with industry experts to help with storytelling, content management, as well as protecting the brand and going to the market.
Now, is this your proprietary kind of methodology or is this somebody else's?
No, this is my methodology. I created it as a student, undergrad, and kind of start rolling it out. So it's called, again, the brand thinking process. And we take you through the four developmental phases of branding.
So what are the four? Is it a secret?
It's not a secret. Look, I would love for you to come to our next workshop on December the 1st, and we'll go over it. So the first phase is what we call brand sensing. And that's where we go through gathering all of your facts about your business, who your target audiences are. And then we go over into what we call brand thinking, where I've developed the canvas that walks you through your mission, your vision, your values, your brand promises, and ultimately your brand essence. And after that phase, we go into the second phase, which is called the brand identity. And that's when we finally get the opportunity to look at the actual logo, the website, your typography, making sure that your messaging is consistent across all platforms. And then the last phase is what we call brand interactions, where we have six touch points where we can identify what your products and services are, who your partners and community collaborations are with, how you're using technology within your brand. So we go through each one of those checkpoints, and then we help you launch your business. So we offer a community and a space for you to come and host your workshops. So it's kind of like a one-stop shop to help the small business owner or a solopreneur to maximize their impact and gain visibility.
So that's your target, is the solopreneur or small business owner?
Yes.
And so are they out there in the market yet, or are they still kind of at the ideation stage where they're just thinking about taking the leap?
A lot of our clients, they have probably been in business 2 to 3 years, and they're in the process of rebranding or redeveloping.
Because they're frustrated.
And don't have the clarity that they, or the focus that they need to go out and reach out. Or they're not ready for their first investment with a Bank of America or Merrill Lynch, or not ready to go into the accelerator. So we help with the foundational pieces to help them so they can gear up.
So, because they could have an idea, or they're selling some stuff, or maybe they're the actual practitioner, right?
Correct. So a lot of times they've had a challenge with identifying who their target audience are.
Right.
So we're bringing them in to help them go through, again, the customer discovery, who's your first customer, and really honing in on the targeted audience so that they can go out and accelerate.
Right, because if you're not aiming it right, you're never going to hit your target, right?
That's right.
So you got to get that right first.
Yep, you have to have a focus.
Is that a common mistake? You see them out there just going, everybody's my client. I can sell to anybody.
I can sell to anyone. You know, the field of dreams, you build and we will come.
So you see that happen a lot. And that's a rookie mistake, right?
Yeah, I think that's the mistake 101.
But they think, well, if I only aim at dentists, I'm missing out on everybody else on the planet.
Right. So, again, they like the build and we will come method, but we try to get them to really focus in on a certain demographic and psychographic for their market.
Now, you developed this while you were in college?
Yes.
And then how did that come about? Like, you just had an interest in marketing and advertising and branding?
I've always been passionate about just the creative side of business, always drawn into flyers and billboards and advertisements. And I was like, oh, that seems really cool. I think I'll focus in on marketing. And so I found my niche there and have been excelling ever since.
And then so now how did you get your first client? How did that come about?
How did I get my first client? Oh, in undergrad, I designed a T-shirt for homecoming. Uh-huh. And it was a really success. I came up with this really cool business model to pre-sell all of the T-shirts before the actual game day. And I ended up selling, it was about 1,000 shirts for like 10 bucks each. Made my first $10,000.
See how easy business is?
And
just throw that in your Bank of America account.
And I had a Bank of America account. That was my first and only account I've ever banked with. Bank of America. And so it was, like I said, for that one, that 3-day experience, I was able to create.
See, business isn't hard.
No, it's
3 days, 10 grand. It's easy.
3 days, 10 grand. And I actually changed. I disrupted the market on campus and how we sold T-shirts from that moment on. So, yes.
All right. Wait a minute. You do make it sound easy. But I, right now, as we speak, I'm writing checks to the Art Institute of Atlanta for a wonderful person named Kelly Payton, my youngest, and I think she's very talented, but there's something in you, your mindset, there's something drove you to take that leap.
Her name is Sparks.
Yeah, you
got energy is built in.
Right. What do you do? Can you train that muscle? Can you work?
It is a trained muscle. I work with students. I'm a graduate of the Art Institute as well.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so I work with students through our internship program, and we help them to discover their spark so they can go out and make a few thousand.
That's Kelly Payton.
Kelly Payton, come on over. Our next phase is starting in January.
So now, so you're going out and evangelizing this speaking or this consulting, right, at different places, like probably the farm and different co-working and incubator spaces?
Yes. So I do try to reach out to incubators and accelerators because I've developed a full curriculum to take you through a 12-week program to actually going through the brand building process. So I'm looking forward to collaborating after the show. Because
this is a mini networking.
Yes. It turned out to be a perfect opportunity because, like stated before, we're gearing small businesses and solopreneurs up so that they can go into an accelerator and be prepared so they can just kind of go from there.
Now, do you, if there's a client that says, hey, I want you to do this and help me with my marketing and branding, and that's not what you do. You're only educating other people to do it?
No, actually. So in part of the phase is to do co-creation. But if you decide to take us on as brand managers, we will take you through.
So that's part of your business as well?
Yes. So we do the design work as well. So once we've identified what your logo, website, and all those things are, we're part of your story. We're a partner with you now. So we're your in-house marketing team. And so we go through.
So you do that as well?
We do that as well.
Educating businesses to, if they want to do it themselves.
Correct.
And you're helping them if they say, you know what, I'd rather write you a check and then you do it.
Yes. And we like when you write us checks.
Well, either way is a win, right?
Yes, we win either way. So again, we go through a co-creation process, helping you develop your brand blueprint. And if you decide to continue with our agency, we can actually design the work for you.
So now what's on the calendar for you for the remainder of the year? What events do you have and where are you going to be?
So November the 10th, we're doing a brand building workshop. We've partnered with Hubert Legal Group, and they're going to come in and teach you how to protect your brand with trademarks and identifying your intellectual properties.
That's important.
And then in December 1st and the 15th, we're doing our brand thinking workshops. We'll walk you through the process of building out your brand.
Now, is there a certain kind of technology you lean on to do your work that you recommend others to take advantage of?
We use a number of different platforms to roll out the canvases. We use a real-time board. We're using Glider. So we use a mix of technology.
And then for you, what's the most rewarding part of the job?
Sitting, just seeing that spark or that energy from someone that came in with challenges of their businesses, and they finally have clarity and focus on where they're going to go, and to see them launch. So I'm there with you every step of the way. Again, it's a partnership, and just being able to see you make impact, I think it's very rewarding.
And then if somebody wanted to learn more and have more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
It's two ways. You can go to shesparks.com or focuslabs.co, and you can learn more about our workshops there.
Good stuff, Clarissa. Thank you so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. Thank you to all of our guests and all of our listeners. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.